Welcome to Crime Prevention 101. We're so happy you joined us this week. Over the next hour, you'll learn the tips, tricks, and vital information that will help you keep yourself confident and safe. Now, here's your host, Susan Bartlestone.
Hey there. In case you're not sure where you are, this is Crime Prevention 101, the personal safety radio show with an optimistic perspective on a sober subject. I'm your host, Susan Bartlestone, and I am so delighted that you're with me tonight because I really can't think of anywhere that I'd rather be than here with you, helping you keep yourself safe. And I'm also thrilled to report that it has finally stopped raining here in New York City, which is the scene of the crime, as I like to put it. The weather has been very nice, almost summer-like. And believe me, it has not been so good up to this point. Now, we're in the month of April, and this month has a whole lot of commemorations that I want to tell you about. First of all, it is National Sexual Assault Awareness and Prevention Month. And since I've been a personal safety and self-defense instructor for many, many years now, this is a subject that's very close to my heart. And I've got a show with a twist on this subject for you tonight, which I'll explain shortly. Then it's also National Child Abuse Prevention Month. So you can be sure that I'm going to be doing programming about this topic during the month as well. And then towards the end of the month, the week of April 18th through 24, that week is both National Crime Victims Rights Week and National Victims of Crime Awareness Week. So during that week, I'll be doing a lot of crime prevention. We're going to talk about home security, security in schools. Very important topic, and this is really quite a crowded month. So now getting back to the topic of sexual assault awareness, I've done a lot of shows on physical self-defense and prevention, and I don't want you to miss out on that information that this has been over the past 2 years now. So I'm posting links to those shows on my crimeprevention101.com website. And they're also on iTunes, so you can find them there. Tonight, however, I'm going to focus on my fellow warriors out there, martial artists and self-defense instructors who are not just teaching people how to defend themselves and prevent rape, but who are reaching into broader areas and really making a difference to their communities and sometimes to the world. And I've got a great guest, Tom Kalos from Hilo, Hawaii, with me. He's a self-defense activist, and where do you hear the inspiring things that he's doing? Now, of course, we're going to start off the show, as we do each week, with our Crime Prevention 101 true crime reporter, Tricia Griffiths, from websleuths.com, which is the largest independently owned true crime forum on the whole wide web, and she's going to tell us what's hot on the forums this week. And last but not least, we're going to try to help Sally Cox, from the San Diego Crime Stoppers organization, Catch a Criminal. Can't wait for that. But meanwhile, without further ado, let me bring on Tricia. Hi, Tricia. What are we talking about tonight?
Hi, Susan. Thank you so much for having me on your show again. I really appreciate it. It has been a busy, busy day at websleuths.com. And let me just tell you, Susan, at websleuths.com, no matter where the truth leads, that's where we want to go. And we proved that today. Now, in 2004... a man was found passed out near a dumpster by a Burger King in Richmond Hill, Georgia. Mm-hmm. Since that time, you may have heard this person, you may not have. He's been on Dr. Phil, he's been everywhere. He told everybody that he was beaten unconscious, left by this dumpster, and he doesn't know who he is. Well, here's the deal. People from all over the world started to help him and believe in him because he was a sweet, kind man.
Oh, no.
To help him, yes. This has been going on for 6 years. So the case was brought to Web Sleuths a few years ago, and our Web Sleuths members worked literally night and day to help this man find his true identity.
Oh, I have a bad feeling here.
Yes, yes. And when I say night and day, they pulled in favors with law enforcement agencies. I know people sent him money. I mean, they opened up their heart and soul to this man, and that's great. That's wonderful. We want to help somebody that needs help, that's alone, that has nobody. You know, if we don't, then what kind of a society are we? I think that's just great. But what
sure.
we found out today, Susan, is, in my opinion, and I believe I'm absolutely right, it's all fake. Now, he gave himself the name of Benjamin Kyle just because he needed a name. So we mm-hmm. call it the Benjamin Kyle Forum. Today I saw documents that proved he absolutely had no head injuries. His big thing was he had a cracked skull, and he was beaten up, you know, just beaten to a bloody pulp, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did he not have a cracked skull, all he had were scabies. Now, scabies is something that homeless people get, and there's a homeless camp right by this Burger King in Georgia. So what happened was, here's my theory. He, you know, they called, the Burger King called and said, hey, there's a homeless guy asleep by our dumpster. The cops came. They didn't even file a police report. They just filed an incident report, Susan. And
mm-hmm.
that's different than a police report. That means no crime. It was just
right.
an incident. And so, anyway, he pretended he didn't know who he was. Well, he started to get attention, and a lot of attention. And he's a very smooth talker, and he's very charming, this Benjamin Kyle. And so the attention just started to be heaped on him. And then there was one lady in particular that has stood by his side this whole time and helped him. I'm assuming she's got to know that this is just bogus. So he was even on the Dr. Phil show, Susan. He was on Dr. Phil.
This is
it's
just
awful.
Unbelievable.
It's awful. And so if you go to webfoods.com. I'm sorry, what?
It's a fake? He was faking the whole thing?
The whole thing. Now, here's why. Because we found the police, we found the report that shows he not only did not have any sort of head injury, he was not beaten up at all. And that's the crux of his story. I was beaten to a bloody pulp and my head was bashed in, so I can't remember who I am. No, he was found next to a dumpster by a homeless camp with scabies and asleep. That's what it was. So
and nobody checked this before now?
Well, here's the thing. You know, it's hard to check. You really can't get any sort of medical records on somebody. So it was a little
sure.
difficult, and I can't say exactly how it all happened, but what I have seen, I'm convinced that there absolutely was no injury whatsoever. So this man has taken the United States of America for a ride for a long time. Let me tell you, the FBI even got involved trying to help this guy. He had it made. His name, he goes by Benjamin Kyle. I know they're checking him against several people. They think he might be. There's a possibility he's a criminal on the run. That wouldn't surprise me. But what this proves to me, two things. First of all, you really have to learn how to vet somebody. That means to
mm-hmm.
make sure that everything they're telling you is true. And that's a lesson I've learned today on Web Sleuths. I can't, just because somebody has been in the media and has a representative, I can't take what they say at face value. And also it shows that Web Sleuths has no problem exposing the truth, even if it's a truth we don't want to know. So that's just been something that's really all day long. I've been working on it since about 6 this morning, and a lot of people are upset, they're hurt, but it happened. So people, please, there are so many scam artists out there, especially on the Internet. The one thing you have to remember, Susan, if somebody asks you for money and they really don't know you that well, it's a scam. You can bet it. You can bet.
Mm-hmm.
You can bet on
mm-hmm.
it. And you know this. You know, you've seen it happen, I'm
yeah.
sure. Especially with women. We open our hearts and souls to these guys, and we think that they love us. No, they love our money. We've just
mm-hmm.
got to be more careful.
And you know what else is so horrible? Because the next person that comes along might be truly needy
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
truly, you know, deserving of our help, and we get jaded, we get skeptical by these con men, and then we might turn our back on someone who really is
absolutely
telling the truth.
Because
of
Benjamin Kyle now, I will be checking things more thoroughly and therefore making people wait longer before they can get help. And that's unfortunate. But, you know, in this day and age, Susan, you absolutely have to do it. And I'm sure you have seen some amazing cons in your time, especially when it comes to women being abused, because
yes.
the abusers are con men. That's what they are, you know. And
they
con a woman.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry,
yep.
what were you going to say?
I said that is one way of looking at it, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And well, they can con a woman into believing that they've changed. So, as
you know,
you,
Tricia, thank you. I thank you so much for the service that you do on WebSleuths.com. And you know what? We did another great segment, Tricia.
I can't believe it.
I know. It's always too quick, right? Well, you know what? You and I are going to do one whole show coming up. Well, let's talk about that, because there's so much going on that I love to talk about with you. And if everybody out there, my wonderful audience, you better check out WebSleuths.com, the best independently owned true crime forum where they really are turning it over there, WebSleuths.com. Now, my wonderful audience, what do I need from you right this moment? I need you to stay tuned, because when we come back, we'll be talking about my fellow warriors, martial artists, and self-defense instructors who are out there making a difference.
You gotta believe. Listen up. Conceive Magazine is now on the air, live, and on demand on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. Hosted by Kim Hahn, founder of Conceive Magazine. Conceive On Air offers comfort and emotional support to women contemplating starting or expanding their family by consulting noted professional experts and by sharing the insights and experiences of others. Kim wants to share her experiences to educate and empower women. Conceive On Air is the only complete resource destination that inspires and informs future moms about their fertility on the journey to parenthood. Conceive On Air with Kim Hahn, celebrating the creation of families.
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com. After more than 17 years' experience teaching safety skills to thousands of women and men, crime prevention and personal safety expert Susan Bartlestone concluded that by thinking and responding quickly, ideally within 20 seconds, potentially violent criminal encounters can be prevented. Using techniques from many different disciplines and illustrated by 60 real-life examples and success stories, Susan shows how it's done in her new book, Think Fast and Prevent a Violent Crime, how to respond to danger in 20 seconds or less. Check out www.crimeprevention101.com for more information.
The violent crime rate has begun to rise again. So what's more important than feeling at ease and secure in your daily life? With an optimistic perspective on a sober subject, crime prevention and personal safety expert Susan Bartlestone brings you the information, tips, resources, and inspiring success stories that will reduce your fear and restore your confidence. So stay tuned and stay safe with Crime Prevention 101 and Susan Bartlestone every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, here on Voice America.
It'd be a crime not to listen.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone. Susan would like to remind you that no absolutes exist in a crime scenario, and no advice can possibly address every variable. Each situation should be evaluated individually and responded to in a way you instinctively judge best. It's Susan's aim on this show to provide you with the information and options that will help you make that instinctive assessment quickly and safely. And if you're already a survivor of the kind of crime we're talking about on the show today, or any other crime for that matter, please remember that there are no right or wrong responses in a criminal encounter, and nothing that happened to you was your fault. Even if you think you used bad judgment in a situation and left yourself vulnerable, that's never an excuse for a crime or for violence. So please, call yourself a survivor, not a victim, and understand that with time, distance, and the proper professional help, you can put what happened into perspective and get on with your life. If you'd like to share your stories, tips, tips or suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, send your comments to solutions@fightsafe.com, and Susan may address some of them on future shows. That email address again, solutions@fightsafe.com. Now, back to Crime Prevention 101.
Hello, Susan Bartlestone here. And you know what? There's plenty of show left to tune in for. So please start texting about us. Start tweeting about us. Don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook. I love to have you as a friend. And I'm going to bring on my next guest in just one second. I just want to give you a couple of resources about National Sexual Assault Awareness Month. If you'd like to get involved and get your organization doing some programs, there's a couple of really good agencies. First of all, you want to check out the National Sexual Violence Resource Center, and that is nsvrc.org. And they have free reports, they have manuals, campaign materials, and anything that you need to put on an event in your workplace, your campus, or your community. Another one you might want to talk about, take a look at, is the Clothesline Project, and it's clotheslineproject.org. And this is an initiative to bear witness to violence against women, and they've got T-shirts and things that you can decorate. So check out clotheslineproject.org. Now I want to introduce you to my next guest. Just a few weeks ago, maybe about a month ago, back in the middle of March, my next guest saw a TV show about a martial artist whose 19-year-old daughter had been brutally murdered. That grieving father went on to launch a self-defense program that has trained 38,000 women so far and counting, in the hopes that no other father will have to do and go through what he did. As a senior member of the international martial arts community with more than 38 years of training and the father of two daughters himself, Tom Kalos became what he terms a self-defense advocate, and he was so moved by that story that he formed a martial arts network called Everything Self-Defense with the teensy little goal of building a martial arts and self-defense community that will educate hundreds of thousands and maybe millions of people about self-defense. And also, and maybe more importantly, educate those of us in the field to teach more than just physical techniques to the students who pass through our doors. He tells the story better than I do, so I'm just going to say, Tom, welcome to Crime Prevention 101.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Susan. I appreciate it. And I almost missed the show in that I live in Hawaii and the time is so different. I'm so glad to be here.
A few beads of sweat were rolling down my brow. That's for sure.
Well, but, first of all, you did a great introduction. Everything Self-Defense originated because I saw the story about Mr. Kemp, whose daughter was killed, and he said, you know, I'm going to do something to keep that from happening. And, you know, he wasn't a martial artist. He was just a dad, but he went to some martial artists and said, let's get kids, young ladies especially, skilled in self-defense. Let's give them some tools so that they can defend themselves. And my heart goes out to him for having lost his daughter. That's awful, and I can't imagine. And at the same time, I want to praise him for turning that pain into some action. And I saw that, and I looked over at my girls, and I said, you know, it's far too late for me not to do anything again. I know that things are going to happen. Self-defense is recognizing a dangerous situation before it happens, doing something about it. So I'm going to take action, too. And a lot of my friends in the martial arts community, because I've been a lifetime participant on a national and international scale, are some of the best self-defense instructors in the world. Some of them have taught 50,000 and some 100,000 women and men and children on how to protect themselves in crisis situations. I said, listen, if I know the best ones, I'll start a site completely free, and we will bring the best people to anybody who wants to find out what real self-defense is, because there are a lot of people who ought to know how to teach self-defense and don't, so it's a dual purpose. We can not only help the public find the experts, but we can take those people who want to be experts and introduce them to people who are experts, and they can bring them along.
Absolutely true. And there is a big difference between martial arts and self-defense, and a lot of times when martial artists attempt to teach self-defense, it isn't quite what beginners need, you know, what people who are only going to take it for a short or a finite time are going to need. And this is raising the consciousness of this and kind of putting the word out as to what, you know, as you put it, letting people know what other people are doing so that they can do it too. But I want to back up a little bit. Now, you were doing all sorts of stuff to broaden the scope of what the students in your school and the people that you train as teachers were doing. And I want you to talk a little bit about the Ultimate Black Belt Test and the Anger Management Program and so forth, because you're making a difference in the community with these programs.
Well, I've been working in the martial arts industry for a long time, helping instructors be better instructors. I used to run two of the largest schools in the United States at the time. We had 800 active students. I had more students at my school than the high school down the street had. So I had a big staff, and through that success, I was asked to speak to the martial arts community. And as a result of that, after going and seeing maybe 50 or 60 different kinds of black belt tests and how people were doing it, because the black belt for many martial arts schools is like the showroom for the automobile manufacturer. You know, you roll it out, this is what I can do. And I thought, we could do a lot better.
By the way, let me just jump in here and say that a lot of people think that the black belt is the last achievement that you have. It actually is not that. It's actually, when you get your black belt, you've got the skills now to begin to actually learn what martial arts and what self-defense is all about. And I think that's a huge mistake.
Well, it's a little bit like life. You know, you think when you turn 18, it's all going to be clear.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're 24 and you go, no, I didn't know anything when I was 18. And then you're 34 and you go, oh, I was such an idiot at 24. Being a black belt's like that, in that you really anticipate that you'll know a lot. And of course, just like anything in life, you know, it's like layers of the onion. It just goes deeper and deeper. And then as you age and as you mature, and you experience things, you know, you have this different perspective. So yeah, no, black belt's like maybe a high school diploma. And if you're going to do a serious pursuit of martial arts, it's you continue on. But I no longer use the word martial arts when I talk about it, in my mind anyway. I say life. And when I say martial artist, I say human being, because my goal isn't to be a great martial artist, because that's kind of easy. My goal is to be a great human being. So the Ultimate Black Belt Test was when I just said, you know what, I have the experience and the chutzpah to redesign what it is that people do to get their black belts. And so I, without any preconceived ideas about it, I just opened up a blackboard and said, what would be the ultimate black belt test be? And I thought, well, it'll last a long time because it's repetitive behavior. So we did a year. And so I said to many of my martial arts friends, I said, you know, usually we get our students and we get them to black belt, we torture them for a weekend. You know, I said, now you can torture them all year. And the real concept behind a year of testing is that the behaviors you're addressing become habitual. And that, for example, one of the concepts in the Ultimate Black Belt Test is everybody does 50,000 push-ups. Well, that's unbelievable until you break it down on a daily basis, only about 150 push-ups. So everybody, your mom could do 150 push-ups if she does them in sets of five throughout the day. So the concept was little things add up to be grand accomplishments. And that is, in a way, a kind of self-defense, knowing that whatever it is that you want to work on, no matter how overwhelming it may seem, that it's small daily efforts. You're best at what you do every day. You eat every day. Hopefully you go to the bathroom every day. You know, you drink a little water. You don't sit down and eat 1 month of meals in a day. It's that slow process. So that every aspect of the Ultimate Black Belt Test, the length of time and the requirements, were meant to make the lesson more experiential, kind of influenced by Joseph Campbell, you know, the hero's journey, which is the exodus, the epiphany, and the return. And this is the black belt journey, is they go off to learn something, and through experience they gain knowledge, and then they come back and teach others. And so
and they have
some of the requirements.
Community service.
You were going to say?
They have to do community service as part of this test?
Well, they do 50,000 push-ups, 50,000 crunches, 1,000 rounds of sparring in a year, 1,000 repetitions of a single form. So it doesn't matter what style the martial artist is because they can do what they want. They do a day in a wheelchair, a day blind, a day mute. It's about empathy. They do 1,000 acts of recorded kindness that they write down in journal. And a lot of the black belts initially are resistant to that, in that they say, well, I'm just going to do a kindness because that's how I am. I don't want to say, hey, look, I did an act of kindness. And I remind them that there are things you do as a teacher for your students that you would never do for yourself.
Exactly. Exactly.
And you write those 1,000 acts of kindness for that 9-year-old. Yes.
We got to take a quick pause. So just hang out with me for a little bit. And you can find out more information about Tom and Everything Self-Defense at everythingselfdefense.ning.com. And coming up, we're going to talk more with Tom about some of these acts of kindness and some of his martial arts colleagues that are using their arts to make a difference.
Talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
After more than 17 years' experience teaching safety skills to thousands of women and men, crime prevention and personal safety expert Susan Bartlestone concluded that by thinking and responding quickly, ideally within 20 seconds, potentially violent criminal encounters can be prevented. Using techniques from many different disciplines and illustrated by 60 real-life examples and success stories, Susan shows how it's done in her new book, Think Fast and Prevent a Violent Crime, how to respond to danger in 20 seconds or less. Check out www.crimeprevention101.com for more information.
Let's sing that new song.
My music track, track, track from a modem jack. Jack, jack plays MP3s, threes, threes, and I download fast, fast, fast. I read the bits, bits, bits on the microchips, chips, chips, and I burnt all my favorite hits.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in technology, but parents can help keep them updated. Go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
The violent crime rate has begun to rise again. So what's more important than feeling at ease and secure in your daily life? With an optimistic perspective on a sober subject, crime prevention and personal safety expert Susan Bartlestone brings you the information, tips, resources, and inspiring success stories that will reduce your fear and restore your confidence. So stay tuned and stay safe with Crime Prevention 101 and Susan Bartlestone every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, here on Voice America.
It'd be a crime not to listen.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone. We invite you to share your stories, tips, or suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, and Susan will address some of these on future shows. Send your story or idea to solutions@fightsafe.com. That email address again is solutions@fightsafe.com. Now, back to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone.
This is Crime Prevention 101. Thanks for tuning in. And don't forget that we have a website, crimeprevention101.com, where you can find out more information about show topics and my wonderful guests. And now I want to get back to Tom Kalos, and we're going to talk a little bit more about martial arts and self-defense, people who are making a difference. Hi, Tom. Back again.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Just before the break, we talked about, as part of your year-long black belt test, and as you said, most black belt tests are a weekend. Yours was a year-long, and part of that, they had to record 1,000 acts of kindness out in the community. What else along that line did they have to do?
Well, we do one. Everybody's responsible for an environmental cleanup project, and then the group collectively raises funds for and then goes to Alabama every year, and we build a home for someone in need with a famous architectural program called the Rural Studio. And we do that as kind of a convention where I can say, now look, instructors, this is how you work in the community. This is how you take your martial arts off the mat and out of the dojo and put it to work in the world. And so that's been the catalyst for a lot of instructors who have started to take their martial arts just from pure practice on the mat and start taking the kids and their students out in the community and solving problems.
Now, you've got a couple of students. I think we're going to be talking to one of them tonight, correct? Who started something called Think Kindness. I'm going to let him recap.
Williams, yeah. He started with me when he was 4 years old and came to my martial arts school in Reno, and he's now, I think he's about 800, but he's old and in his 20s, and he started an organization called thinkkindness.org, and he started it when he called me and said, sir, I want to be a motivational speaker. And I said, Brian, why don't you tackle a million acts of kindness? It'll take you a while. It's a great subject. It's relevant to self-defense, as kindness might be the ultimate self-defense. And he went to it.
That's Brian, and we're going to have Brian on to talk about some of those acts. We have another colleague of yours, Dawn Swiderski. Is she on the line, Dion, with us?
Yes, I am. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Dawn. Now, tell everybody what you're doing. Tom's on with us, too, by the way.
Well, I am the public outreach director for a nonprofit organization called DefeatDiabetes.org. And some time back, we got put together with Tom, and we got to talking about the problem of diabetes, which is actually epidemic in this country. It affects 24 million Americans who have the disease, another 57 million who are at risk for it. And actually, one out of three children born after the year 2000 are going to get diabetes in their lifetime. So Tom, being Tom, said, you know, this is something that we can really make a difference. And can you put together a program specifically for martial arts schools that will address the issue of diabetes education? And so we did that with a program called the Martial Arts Defeat Diabetes Community Action Project. That actually serves as a curriculum for teachers, a curriculum for the for the students in the martial arts school. It provides opportunities for the martial arts school to go out into the community and to give diabetes awareness presentations, and also to undertake some programs in your local community that help to promote a healthier environment, like school gardens and community gardens and fallen fruit projects and that sort of thing.
I love it. How many people are involved? How many students are out there or have been?
Well, we currently have 40 schools that are participating in the program. We actually just launched it last year, so we're adding them every day. And we're estimating that there are probably about 10,000 students who are participating.
How many was it? Did you say?
I wanted to interject that, you know, I realized that diabetes was a self-defense issue, and I had taught hundreds of kids, thousands of kids, actually, like Brian, who will be on the show, and I never talked about diabetes, but they're more likely to be hurt by their diet and lack of exercise and diabetes and other diseases than they were by a kick or a punch. And I realized we better bring these subjects into our dojo because they're perfectly self-defense related.
Exactly.
Absolutely. I think that's fantastic. How do people get in touch with you if they'd like to be? Now, you're based where, Dawn?
The Defeat Diabetes Foundation is based in Florida in the Tampa Bay area. I'm actually telecommute to my job, so I'm in San Francisco. But we can be reached at defeatdiabetes.org.
Defeatdiabetes.org. So any of you martial artists out there that are listening, and I know I've got a whole lot of martial arts people that are listeners to the show, if you want to get involved in something like this, if that cause moves you, I want you to give defeatdiabetes.org a call or a look up, right?
Right. You can
thank
find
you
me there.
So much. Thank you so much, Dawn, for calling in today.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Okay. So that is a fabulous fabulous example of what we're talking about. We're waiting for Brian to call in. Tom, what are some of the other people that you've
influenced along this line?
Well, what I'm teaching martial arts teachers how to do is, and suggesting to the international martial arts community, so any martial artists listening to this can call us to find out, I'm trying to teach them to undertake community projects that are beneficial to the entire international martial arts community and to the world. So it's a training process that takes their martial arts, again, out of the dojo and put it to work in the world. So we started the first ever anger management training program for martial arts teachers.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that.
Yeah, I went to one of the preeminent anger management coaches in the world, Dr. Tony Fiore, and we designed a program to teach martial arts teachers how to teach kids anger management. And I interrupted you, so go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to ask you about that anger management. We've got another caller. We've got Sally Crock, so let's put her on.
Hello?
Yes,
hi Sally.
Hi.
You're speaking with Susan and Tom. Welcome.
Hi, thank you very much.
Tell me about what you're doing, or what was your question for us?
Oh, I'm actually your next guest.
Okay.
So we might have, I'm with Crime Stoppers.
Oh, right. Oh,
they
my gosh.
They probably queued me
okay,
up
you know what,
for you.
You know what? They misspelled your name. Do me a favor. Hold on, Sally. We're going to bring you on very shortly, okay?
Okay, no problem.
I don't want to jump the gun on you.
Sure.
All right. So, again, we love live radio.
Yeah, I was talking about Dr. Fiore.
Okay.
Anger is another issue. You know, it's a precursor to a lot of things you'd rather not do, you know, be held accountable for, so we can deal with anger first. And most anger, when I talked to Dr. Fiore, you know, there were no preventive anger management training programs for kids in my community. It was therapeutic. After you had a problem, you got help, you know. So I said, let's design a program because it's so congruent with the martial arts and teach kids, give these tools to the kids long before they ever need them. And so that was one project. We also went to environmental self-defense and we started the first ever environmental self-defense initiative, asking all martial arts schools to get their green belt kids to do 5 to 10 acts of environmental self-defense, meaning check bombs, tires, you know, start a recycling program. And we actually had the first school in the world who embraced an environmental cleanup project as a requirement for their black belt test. That was a school out of San Rafael, California. So their black belts have to do something around ocean and water-based cleanup. And this year we've teamed with a project called the Junk Raft, and one of the things that our participants have to do is try to reduce their use of plastic disposables by 40% to 90%, which is very difficult, but it's about the pollution of the ocean by plastic, and it gives the martial arts school owner something to talk about that's still relevant to self-defense, that isn't about hitting people in the head.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's a broader use. And you've got one more student that's very inspiring, and his name is B.J. Penn. Talk a little bit about what B.J.'s been doing.
Well, B.J. Penn is my student, started with me when he was 17 years old. He's fighting tomorrow morning in Abu Dhabi. He's the number one lightweight UFC world champion. He's a legend. He's called the Prodigy. It's unbelievable how good he is and how I have not progressed one iota. I'm the worst purple belt in jiu-jitsu in all the world, and BJ's the best black belt jiu-jitsu and MMA fighter, and he's really a phenomenal person. You see his work at bjpenn.com, where he keeps a daily video blog of the things that he eats and how he's training and where he's traveling, and he has a fan base there of millions, and it's amazing what he's gone through. And I must have taught 15, 20,000 people over my career. You only get one B.J. Penn that comes out of your camp, and he is quite something. So it's a gift to be around him, and now he was my student, and now I'm his student.
Mm-hmm. I think we're all
his
student.
I don't hold a candle to his skill.
I love the fact, you know, that he lives a life that you'd want to emulate, and that's why he's got millions of people who are following him. What is it, bjpenn.com? It's P-E-N-N?
Yes, bjpenn.com, and BJ's maturing. You know, he's now a father, and, you know, when he was younger, he was a ruffian, but, you know, people mature. He just happens to have this gift, this Mozart-like gift that's not about music. It's about things done in the ring, and he's really a genius, you know, in the application of this art, jiu-jitsu, and in the ring and fighting, but he's also the kindest and most respectful and hardest working person I've ever known. He's really a champion. He has his website has so many people visiting it, millions, that when he films his diet, films his food, he's really teaching many young people who look up to him about the importance of proper diet. And so he's really becoming quite the teacher in many ways. The other day he did a video on where he was talking about how he's never had a cavity, and he keeps his teeth clean. He was flossing, and I'm thinking, how many 15-year-olds are watching that, you know?
Absolutely. All right, well, this is, Tom, this is, the seeds you planted have grown. Martial artists need to come out of the dojo, come into the community. I want everybody that to take a look at everythingselfdefense.ning.com, because I think you've opened a lot of eyes today, and I can't thank you enough for being with me. And this is Crime Prevention 101, and coming up
thank
is you. My favorite part of the show, where I talk to one of America's Crime Stoppers groups. We had a little sneak peek with Sally Cox just before. So hang on, don't blink, we'll be right back.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
After more than 17 years' experience teaching safety skills to thousands of women and men, crime prevention and personal safety expert Susan Bartlestone concluded that by thinking and responding quickly, ideally within 20 seconds, potentially violent criminal encounters can be prevented. Using techniques from many different disciplines and illustrated by 60 real-life examples and success stories, Susan shows how it's done in her new book, Think Fast and Prevent a Violent Crime, how to respond to danger in 20 seconds or less. Check out www.crimeprevention101.com for more information.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams, Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
Think of the world 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain inspired really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone. We invite you to share your stories, tips, or suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, and Susan will address some of these on future shows. Send your story or idea to solutions@fightsafe.com. That email address again is solutions@fightsafe.com. Now, back to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone.
I just want to remind you that Crime Prevention 101 is available on iTunes. You don't even have to be at your computer to listen to us. And coming right up, we're going to try and catch a criminal. We've got Sally Cox, who you had a little sneak peek of beforehand. She's the executive director of the San Diego Crime Stoppers. Before I introduce her, though, I just want to give you a couple of more resources in case your group or organization or community would like to get involved with Sexual Assault Awareness Month. There's something called Denim Day in L.A. and the USA, and you donate money, you wear denim, and you contribute that money, and you can go to denimdayinla.org. And then also there's jeansforjustice.org, and it's jeans with the number 4 and then justice.org. And all fundraising proceeds that you contribute to them go towards art-based educational initiatives about sexual assault in high school and college campuses. And then make sure you take a look at takebackthenight.org. And I'm going to post links on my Crime Prevention 101 blog, so you will have them. You don't even have to worry. All right, now, my next guest, Sally Cox, has had over 15 years' experience working with nonprofit organizations like the United Way of San Diego, and she's a member of the San Diego Juvenile Justice Commission. And she is also the executive director of the San Diego Crime Stoppers, a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping law enforcement solve crimes. And over the past 25 years, they've helped the San Diego police solve more than 3,700 crimes, including 105 homicides. That is so awesome. Sally, welcome to Crime Prevention 101.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
My pleasure. Now, talk a little bit about Crime Stoppers in general, and then talk about San Diego Crime Stoppers.
Sure. Well, Crime Stoppers is a program that has the main thing that we do is we give people a way to report crime anonymously. So if somebody has some information and they're afraid of retaliation, afraid to go directly to the police or law enforcement, they can call us up, send us a web tip, send us a text tip completely anonymously, and then we take that information and pass it directly on to law enforcement.
And that's
and,
so important.
Most of the programs also give rewards. If the informant, the information leads to an arrest, we will pay a cash reward.
I think the most important thing is because people want to get involved, but sometimes they're afraid of retaliation. Sometimes the person they're, you know, dropping a quarter on is a relative or, you know, a family member or someone that they know very well, and they don't want to be the one to do it. And this way they can do it anonymously. And that's so amazing.
Yeah, it's, you know, I can think of several high-profile homicide cases that we've worked on. One in particular was actually three people who were killed in two different locations, and the murderer was letting somebody know, somebody close to him, as he fled the state, and that person was turning around and directly giving that information to us, and we were passing it on to the investigators, and these were people that killed three people. So the person that was passing this on had a real legitimate fear of for their safety, and we were able to protect them and get these bad guys off the streets.
That's fabulous. That's exactly why I love having Crime Stoppers on.
Aww.
Now, does San Diego have any special programs that you'd like to talk about?
Well, sure. You know, we're a countywide program, and we, you know, what we're most proud of really is our Campus Crime Stoppers program. We're working with 156 schools in our county and working with about 200,000 students. And just yesterday we paid out a Campus Crime Stoppers rewards, and one of them was for a gun that was at a middle school campus. So, you know, that can be somebody, you know, could have died. Several people could have died.
Middle school, is that what, is that 12 years old?
In this case, I think it was like a seventh grader that brought a handgun to school. It was loaded, and another student was afraid, and they knew that the Crime Stoppers number was on their school ID card, and they called us up, and within 3 minutes, that gun was off the school campus. So that's
fantastic.
Something that, that's why we do it, is for those situations.
Do you get bullying calls from on that, too? Because I would love to see that be available to more kids.
Absolutely. You know, one of the cases that we had fairly recently was a gang fight that was going to happen. And it was, you know, one of the kids that was kind of afraid of getting caught in the crossfire called in and notified their school resource officer. And, you know, they got a couple, 10, 15 cops there after school, and no gang fight happened, but they knew that it would have if they hadn't gotten that information.
Fantastic. All right. Now, do you have a particular case that you'd like us to help you with? And you San Diego listeners, pay attention here.
The one I think that touches my heart the most right now is it's a case from 2007, and it was the case of Ron Harnish. He was a sailor here in San Diego, out with his friends. He was set to start his Navy SEAL training, and out with some friends, he saw some guys flashing gang signs. He pulled over. He was somebody that thought he could, kind of talk to anybody, and they shot him just in cold blood. They shot one of the friends who survived, and we're still looking for someone to come forward on that case, and we want to find out who killed Ron Harnish, and we'd really like to see someone held accountable for someone who had stood up to serve in our military at this time and didn't get to help to protect our country.
All right. Well, I hope somebody that's listening to the show can help you. Why don't you give out the tip line and the website so
Website is www.sdcrimestoppers.com, like San Diego. And we are 888-580-8477.
Sally, thank you so very much for being with me tonight, and I hope that we can help you out.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the show, too. We appreciate the good work that you do.
Oh, it is totally my pleasure.
All right. Have a good evening.
Thank you. All right. Well, I think we're coming to a close with another great show. I mean, I really loved this show tonight. I want to just remind everyone again, I'm putting the links to all my guests on my Voice America homepage, my host page on the VoiceAmerica.com network. I'm going to put the resources on my CrimePrevention101.com blog site, and I'm posting them on my Facebook page. Please go there and follow me. I've got over 3,000 friends. I'd love to have you. And you know what? I guess it's a wrap for now. But never fear, because you and I will be doing this again next week. Same time, same bat channel, and I'm not dating myself here too much, am I, when I say that? And I'm going to have more stories that demand to be told, more hot crime topics, and, of course, lots of tips and resources for you. It'd be a crime not to listen, so stay tuned and stay safe.
We hope you got some useful information and inspiration this week on Crime Prevention 101. Susan Bartlestone invites you to join us again next Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific and 8 p.m. Eastern Time here on Voice America. If you want to learn more about Susan's guest, sign up for her newsletter, or find out about upcoming teleseminars and workshops, go to www.crimeprevention101.com today. Have a great week and a safe week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.